It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalzer. Joining us right now via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line is Chris Kerber, voice of the Blues on the Blues Radio Network. And Kerbs, what time did you get home last night, man?
Oh, probably about 1:30, 1:40, somewhere in there.
Yeah, nice late night.
When was the last time you saw 1:45, 2 o'clock?
Dude, it's, well, in all fairness, it's probably been a while. I'm sure during this COVID time, I've had one night with a neighbor or something like that, probably near a pool that's gone long. But, yeah, today has definitely been a different feeling day than what would normally be. If this had been the normal season, it would pretty much be every single night.
When there's a bubble environment, does it even feel like late is late? You know what I mean?
No, you know what it actually does? It's a good question, actually. It's interesting. Joe and I were looking at each other last night, and I said, you know what? Like, I mean, the setup that the station has out at Centene and those EMB Granite Studios, the job they did getting us great-sized monitors, the tireless work that Dodie Rallman's putting in to staying up on the technology side because the league has made some challenges there. I mean, everything's been just top-notch. But I looked at Joe and I said, God, I just miss being around the team. Like, I miss being able to, you know, walk past a guy and just have a conversation that, you know, might not even have anything to do with hockey. You know, like the best parts of the day so far when we do the broadcast is we'll do a Zoom with a player or two and Craig Berube, which is separate from their normal media, you know, outlets. And man, you feel like you're just connected again to it. So the time start aspect, like even 9:30 for us, you're like, geez, are you serious? Like, it really is like it's a West Coast game for St. Louis fans. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that's the way it is because it gets late for Blues fans. But hell, I'll take it versus when we didn't have an option of having hockey at all, you know?
You're darn right. Start them whenever you want, as long as there's sports out there. I think everybody is in on that. All right, Kerbs, we'll get to the stuff in a second where things may not have gone the way the Blues wanted it throughout this game. But I want to know, is there a specific aspect of their game last night that you did like? Was there something about the Blues that stood out to you in a positive manner?
Yeah, you know what? Well, several things. I thought we saw really for the first time, you know, since they started going again, I really think we saw them put what you would consider consecutive shifts together where they were able to make a line change with the puck in the offensive zone where, in Alexander Steen's words, where the ending of one shift, you've left your teammates and your line mates in a better place. And so we saw that. I like the fact that they really did a good job of limiting the shots on goal. You know, unfortunately, the save percentage wasn't there. You know, so I thought that was pretty positive. And so there were a few things like that. I think we saw some structure. What I was really hoping to see is the goaltending had to bail this team out in these first couple games while they get some of that intensity back. You know, that didn't happen in the third period last night, but for the most part, I did see some things that I liked, and I kind of walked away from that game in a little bit of a similar feel like I walked away from game one against San Jose last year.
Chris Kerber is our guest here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Kerbs, in that series last year, the Blues were really physical with the Sharks. You had just mentioned the San Jose series. It looked like the physicality was there for the Blues. The thing that I would be concerned with, though, would be the fact that in no way, shape, or form am I saying this is why they lost last night, but didn't help. No Blais, no Steen, no Barbashev. Is the depth a potential problem moving forward here if they can't get those guys back?
It, you know, in all honesty, I don't think it should be in this series. You know, I think it evens the series up a little bit, but I still don't think it should be a problem. Now, having said that, what it has done, Anthony, is it changed the dynamic a little bit. For example, one of the dynamics was you might see sometimes that fourth line of those guys you just mentioned, you might see that line getting, you know, anywhere from 13 to 16 minutes a game, depending on the day. Well, we knew going in that it might be a 7 to 10 minute for that fourth line, and it was actually less than that because of all the penalty killing and then in the third period chasing the game. So, you know, to me, it definitely changed the dynamic of how that group and how Craig Berube can roll his guys out there. Look, with all due respect to Mackenzie McEachern, Troy Brower, and you know, and Jacob De La Rose. They're not Sundquist, Barbashev, and Steen, you know, and the Blais injury forces Sundquist to go up. That might have happened anyway, to be honest with you. And then, so there is no doubt a depth issue. They're not as deep, but I still don't think that that would be a reason that you couldn't win this series. That game to me last night simply came down to the fact that once again, you couldn't stay out of the penalty box. And you're taxing your penalty killers. You're not getting your guys like Tarasenko out on the ice enough. You're not keeping it 5-on-5, which is your strength to build your game. And that's now, when you count the three-round-robin games, you're talking about a total of 23 minor penalties over four games, and that is way too many. I don't care how good you are. You're not going to win games playing that way.
And a lot of them end up being stick penalties. So guys getting beat and then having to throw the stick out there, you know, hook somebody, slash somebody because they're getting beat. And Vancouver is quick. So you've got a lot of moments where Canucks skaters are going right by you. And then, you know, Blues defender has to throw a stick out there and gets a penalty as a result. Is there a way, and is it likely that they can find a way to fix that quickly, because you don't have a whole lot of a time here to adjust?
No, you're just going to have to work harder and get and be better positionally. And, you know, a lot of times that'll happen when you turn the puck over. And I think sometimes you do have to give the other team credit for forcing you to turn the puck over. I mean, Travis Green, their head coach, has them playing a very structured game, you know, but at the same time, I think we saw where the Blues could get them running around a little bit. So the Blues just haven't been structured enough and making smart enough decisions with the pucks. And then you're right. You know, five of the six penalties were stick penalties last night, not counting the interference penalty, even though it was a stick moving a stick on Pietrangelo. So let's just say five. That means that of those 23 penalties I mentioned, 15 of them over these four games have been those type of stick penalties. I mean, look, Joey talked about it with Mackenzie McEachran. You know the referee is looking for a trip off the faceoff. Like, you just know it the way these guys are calling it. They're doing it. And what do? You get your stick in there and you trip the guy off the faceoff. It's a bad penalty to take. It's in the neutral zone. It makes no sense. It didn't serve a purpose like Troy Brouwer's stick to the groin of Antoine Roussel did. And Boyd, by the way, notice the refs let that one go. it really was just a penalty that you didn't need to take. And the Blues have just taken too many of those. Now, you know, in all fairness, the Braden Schenn one, okay, I would tend to agree with Schenn's, you know, debate on that one, you know, but then again, it's just a matter of putting yourself in that position. And with the way these things are being called right now, we've already seen a coach and Rod Brind'Amour get fined. The Blues just have to be much more aware of it and smarter about how they're using their sticks and how hard they're working to be in position. And that's just a key to them playing winning hockey right now. If they don't do it, this will be a quick series.
And Curbs, not that you're ever trying to be on the PK. You'd like to stay away from that as much as possible, but it would help if they could clear the puck. Had some issues with that last night.
Yeah, look, you're dealing with a very good power play unit. I mean, they were just as good in the regular season as the Blues were, right behind the Blues by 0.1 percentage point. So, you know, you're dealing with a good power play unit. You've got to be able to clear that puck out. That's the strength of Alex Pietrangelo. A couple of times, the Blues blindly just flung it up to the blue line, and Quinn Hughes was there to keep it in. And all you've done is, one, by getting it out, you're taking a solid 15 to easy 20 seconds off the penalty kill clock. But by them keeping it in, they're preventing you from getting fresh killers on the ice, and they're getting more momentum. So clearing that puck on the penalty kill is going to be really important. And I don't think we were hard enough on Vancouver in front of our own net or in front of their net. You know, we had some pretty good shots on goal, but I mean, Markstrom, being able to see him, he's going to stop 99% of those that he can see like that. So, as Craig Berube said, fixable things, but things that the team's got to execute better on.
Well, I was wondering, is part of the problem them not being able to clear the zone because there are no fans in the building telling them to do it?
Come on, Raj.
Well, you know what? I started to think that the reason that they weren't getting the number of shots on goal they used to is because the fans weren't in the building yelling, shoot.
Yeah, we were
but
wondering
they
that, too.
They did get up to 32 last night, so that blew a hole in that one. I think we're going to just have to just measure that one out here a little bit more as the games go on.
Curbs, get some rest. Tomorrow, a little better start time for you.
Yeah, we get to have dinner after the game tomorrow. That's pretty good. So 5:30 start time. And 4:30 pregame, we'll have some fun and hopefully tie this series up one game apiece.
Absolutely. Amen. All right, Curbs. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you again. Well, we'll listen to you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great day.